book of Joshua, chapter 24. And we'll read verse 14 and verse 15. Joshua, chapter 24, verse 14 through 15. And I read in your hearing. Now, therefore, fear the Lord, serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that way on the other side of the river, or the gods of Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Amen.
May the Lord bless the reading of His word. I love Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. God has great sense of humor. Great sense of humor. I think that's one of the reasons why I would want to be in heaven. Just be able to see this being called God. Great sense of humor. As I was listening to the minister of music from Sister Patricia, I said to myself, you know what? God has great sense of humor. Who had ever thought that before the end of 2008 we'll have Sister Patricia ministering to us? Amen. And yet, you know, God, you know, knew it all a long time ago. And He just wanted us to He wanted to surprise us today before the end of the year. Thank you, Sister Pat. Thank you so much. And I said to myself, wow, who is this God? I had to go to heaven and say, God, you know, you have treated us well.
Amen.
Dr. Onyango has always said that, you know, God is building His church block by block, stone by stone, person by person, every week, every Sunday. And we are so happy that God, in His own divine wisdom, is building this wonderful community of Rachokukamango, which is self-sufficient.
Amen.
Self-sufficient. We don't have to hire or to import workers in this church. God is bringing the right people at the right time to be able to represent Him in this community. We thank Him.
Yeah.
We thank Him. And I said to myself this morning, that indeed God has great sense of humor, because He surprised me once again. There's a person I didn't expect to see here in church today, and that's our youth pastor, Pastor Nathaniel. And so when I looked there, I saw Nathaniel around, I said, what's this? He had told me that he was going to be away for the next 3 weeks, and lo and behold, he's here.
Good to
see you. I'm saying, you know,
with a brother.
With a brother. I'm saying God has great sense of humor, and I'm glad to see you, Pastor Nathaniel, worshiping with us. And he's not going to be here next Sabbath, and we're trying to, through Mr. Yazid, we'll try to see if Norman will preach here next Sabbath. So I want to make it official so that when he comes, he knows that the church is expecting. We worship a wonderful God. Worship a wonderful God. And I wish, and sometimes, to be honest, I feel so small that I can speak on His behalf. Because God has surprised me all the time. And I want to thank you, Sister Norma, for lifting me up during the intercessory prayer. We need that, especially when we have been asked to speak on behalf of God. We need the church family to lift us up, because it is not about a person, but it's about God and His universal plan for each one of us. Now that God has delivered us from the pain and sufferings of 2008, now that God has fed us and enabled us to pay our bills in 2008, now that God has allowed us to realize some of our dreams and wishes in 2008, now that God has allowed us to be alive and be able to smile with those we love, then what? Yes, we will not pretend to think that the year 2008 was a year full of roses. We have had trials and tribulations. We have had challenges from all angles of life. We have seen some of our lifetime savings diminishing. We have seen even our livelihood being threatened and our hopes and faith being shaken. And yet we have seen and testified God's hand leading us through it all. The biggest challenge, brothers and sisters, that we face today as we approach the last month of 2008 is to forget how the Lord has led us in the past. Therefore, the appeal that I would like to extend to each one of us this morning is to remember how God has led us in the past, with the hope that when we do so, we will move forward by unwavering faith into the challenges of 2009. In his farewell message, Joshua, the man of God, reminded the children of Israel to remember who God was and what he had done for them and on their behalf. He challenged them to remember God by choosing to fear Him and to worship Him and to serve Him. I'll suggest to you, brothers and sisters, that to fear God is to worship Him in spirit and in truth, and to serve Him once again in 2009. Directing your attention to the scriptures this morning in the book of Joshua chapter 24, I have selected some few verses that I thought will be important to consider as we examine how God has been faithful to us in the past and what our role should be in the future. In verse 3, the Bible says, Joshua, talking about what God did, he says, "Then I took your father, Abraham, from the other side of the river." It is God who took Abraham from the other side of the river and led him throughout all the land of the Canaanites and multiplied his descendants and gave him Isaac. The children of Israel needed to be reminded of what God had done for them and for their parent Abraham. The children of Israel were reminded of their special selection. That being who they were, it was out of God's own divine choice.
Yes.
It is God who took Abraham from the other side of the river, from the land of idolatry and immorality, to the land of the Canaanites, and multiplied his descendants. Yes, brothers and sisters, just as God took Abraham from the land he called his own, I want to suggest to you that it is the same God who has called us from all places, far and near. He's the same God who has called us from the land of our own to where we are today, from our friends and acquaintances, from the land of darkness to his marvelous light, so that we together can establish his kingdom of grace for ourselves and for our descendants here in Rancho Cucamonga. It's not because we chose to be here, but God handpicked each one of us to leave our comfort zones, to leave those places that we thought were of our own, so that together we can be here to establish the kingdom of grace for God and for ourselves and for our children to come. Verse 4, 6 and 8. The Bible says, to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. To Esau I gave the mountains of Seir to possess. But Jacob and his children went down to Egypt. Verse 6, then I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued you further, pursued your fathers with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea. Verse 8, and I brought you into the land of the Amorites, who dwelt on the other side of the Jordan, and they fought with you, but I gave them into your hand, that you might possess their land and destroy them before you. Here, brothers and sisters, the children of Israel had a challenge of forgetting what God had done for them. And that's the problem that the Christian church today has a challenge. The challenge of forgetting of what God has done for us in the past. And sometimes we have been tempted to take the credit from God and make it our own. The successes that we have enjoyed in our families, the successes that we have enjoyed in our jobs, sometimes we have taken that credit ourselves. And God would like to remind us as we enter 2009 that all the blessings that we have enjoyed, it was me. I fought your battles and you enjoyed the victories. I walked before you. I provided all what you needed. Not what you wanted, but what you needed. It is me. It is important that the children of God should remember all the time that God has handpicked each one of us. God would like to remind us that it is Him who gives us a place that we call our own. It is Him who determines our places of residence. We walk around and see these beautiful homes around and we say, wow, I made the right choice. No. God did it for you. It is God. Some of us live around this area of Rancho Cucamonga and you say, well, we decided to live here. No, you did not. God did it for you. He knew it even long before that one day I'm going to establish my church here and you will be part of that church. God decided who your neighbors would be and in which church family to fellowship with. God will move us from our countries, from our neighborhood, from our cities and communities anytime at His own pleasure. Meanwhile, where you live right now is where God wants you to be. Where you are right now is where God wants you to be. Where you are worshiping right now, that's where God wants you to be. As long as God wants you to be where you are, you will be there because it is Him who determines your destination. Joshua wanted to remind the Israelites that God was their ultimate authority. In verse 7, the Bible says, so they cried out to the Lord, and He put darkness between you and the Egyptians, brought the sea upon them and covered them, and your eyes saw what I did in Egypt. Then you dwelt in the wilderness a long, long time. Joshua wanted to remind the Israelites to remember that God is the one who fought their battles and defended them from destruction. And this morning, brothers and sisters, I just decided to stop by here to remind you that it is not your doctor who saved you from dying. It is not your best attorney who fought for you. It is not our talents that has made us to be where we are today. It is not our connections, good connections, that have brought successes to us. It is God using all these resources for our behalf. It is God who has called people in our lives. It is God who has directed us to the right people to open the doors for us so that we can make it even to the end of 2008. It is not because we have connected ourselves with the right people. God is in charge. And brothers and sisters, as Christians, we need to remember about that all the time. That God is ultimate in control. He controls our lives every day. We plan, but God helps us to execute those plans. Now that God has done all this for us, now that He has won our battles for us, now that He has been here for us through the ups and downs of 2008, what should be our response? Isaiah chapter 41 verse 3 reminds us that God will give beauty for ashes, joy instead of mourning, and praise instead of heaviness. Whenever it seemed that the Israelites were poised at the gate of change, God sent someone to bring them into the remembrance of all the times God had helped them in the past. The word remember is mentioned more than 250 times in the scripture, indicating that the greatest challenge of human beings is to forget what God has done for them in the past. That's why even today we're being reminded to remember those goals that God has fought for our behalf. And the victories that we're enjoying today, it is God. We need to remember that at all times. Clearly. Many times it is not new knowledge. I love this one. Many times it is not new knowledge that we need, but reminders of what we already know. Most of the time we don't need new knowledge or new understanding of the scriptures, but we need to be reminded of what we've already known about our God. Sports psychologists claim that by remembering when the athletes do something right, they can easily duplicate those activities over and over. They emphasize remembering past successes in order to attain new ones. Sometimes we need to look back in order to move forward. And I want to challenge this church this morning to look back 3 years ago when we used to worship here. 3 years ago. When we look back how God has led us in this building 3 years ago, we'll be able to walk forward by faith because we know how capable our God is. We know how able our God is. When we look back where you come from, then we can say, you know what? I'm going to walk forward by faith because my God is able. Joshua challenged the children of Israel to do three things in remembering God. Number one, he challenged them to fear the Lord. Number two, he challenged them to serve him in sincerity and in truth. And number three, he challenged them to forsake their sins. This is how we can remember God. We can remember God by worshiping him in truth. We can remember God by giving him his position in our lives. We can remember God by giving him his position in our homes, his position in his church. We can remember God by understanding that God is in control of everything that we think is ours. We will remember God, that he is God, the sovereign God, by confessing our sins to him and willing to overcome those sins through the blood of the Lamb. Verse 14. That's where the gist of the matter is. Now, therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Not your brothers and sisters. Those that resolve to serve God must not mind being alone in it. This journey, you know, the journey of faith, you know, we need to make our personal choices. While we can consult our brothers and sisters and our mothers and our fathers and our spouses, at the end of the day, it is God in you. It is God in you. The issues of salvation is personal. It's personal. So we must be reminded that the journey that we take in following the Lord is the journey that we take it alone. No, be drawn by the cloud to forsake his sins. Those that are bound for heaven must be willing to swim against the stream and must not do as the most do, but as the best do. Verse 15. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites, and who, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. If what God has done for you is not enough, and worthy to be appreciated, if the forgiveness from God is not worthy to be remembered, if His amazing grace that saved a sinner like me is not gracious enough, if His protecting power protecting us from becoming homeless, jobless, fatherless, churchless is not gracious enough, then we need to choose to worship other gods on the other side of the river. We need to worship God of Wall Street and Stock Exchange. We need to worship the God of self-pride and gift of glory. But for me and my house, but for me and those I can influence, but for me and those who are my fellow travelers to the heavenly home, but for me and those who are tired of this world, but for me and those who walk by faith and not by sight, but for me and those who are willing to forsake all the pleasures of this world and follow Jesus wherever it is, but for me and those who surrender not, no retreat, no giving to pressure, but for me and my house, I will serve the Lord.
Amen.
I will serve the Lord by worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. I will serve the Lord by forsaking and surrendering all my sins to Him. I will serve the Lord until He takes me home. I will serve the Lord until I hear Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I will serve the Lord until I see Him face to face in His glory. I will serve the Lord until I see His skies being rolled like a scroll. I will serve the Lord until I walk on the streets paved of gold. I will serve the Lord until I shake the hands that they pierced for my sins. But for me, I'll serve the Lord until the day I will sit on that welcome table. But for me, I'll serve the Lord until I see Him face to face in paradise made anew. But for me, I'll serve the Lord, my God, and His voice will lie on me. How sad. Who want to join me this morning? By committing your life. Who want to join me this morning by raising up and joining with me as I commit my life this morning that I will serve the Lord. I will trust Him and obey Him. May God bless you. May God bless you. I invite brothers and sisters as we look forward standing together with me, the preacher, reaffirming our commitment before you that because of what you did for us in the past, we will save you in 2009 by obeying your will and your command. May God bless you.